Yep, yep. Ahora sí. God bless you all. It's nice to be here. I was in the first service, in the second, then the Hispanic. It's good. That's like a good Puerto Rican service. You know, we have like 4 hours. Yeah, so I'm used to it. For me, it's a blessing to be here today. Like I said in the first service, I wanted just to express the thank you. This church has been praying for us, working with us, partnering with us, and especially during this past year through the hurricane, this church has been a blessing. So part of me coming to the States from Puerto Rico and being an extra time here is just to be with this particular church and say thank you so much on behalf of Iglesia Bautista Metropolis in Carolina, Puerto Rico. So thank you so much. And today, I'm not alone. My wife is with me, Betsaida Perez Villegas. We use our first and second last name. That's very particular in Puerto Rico. Like I said in the first service, my name is Jesus. It's a very common name in Puerto Rico, you know, but saying like Jesus or Jesus is not like very common in the States, you know, like come Jesus, come to my side. It's not like very common. Like I receive a text from Jesus or Jesus, I have Jesus email. It's kind of awkward, right? My dad was not very creative. He said, well, my name is Jesus, he said, so I'm going to name my first Jesus and my second Jesus. So we have three Jesus. So thank God I'm not the son and my brother, the Holy Spirit. Okay? We use second name. So I'm Jesus Edgardo. My brother is Jesus Omar. So that's a way to make that difference. I have been pastoring Puerto Rico in the Iglesia Bautista Metropolis for 16 years. 16 years I've been the pastor of the church. We have been part of CBF since 2007, and we were the first CBF church in the Caribbean. Now we are part of the Florida and the Caribbean, part of CBF. And in 2009, we hosted the first mission group that they're from First Baptist Church of Wilmington, North Carolina, that we're praying for them right now. At that time, they came like 85 people from Wilmington to Puerto Rico. And when we hosted 85, we said, if we have 85, we can have other teams also. So it has been a great time. Since 2009, we have been hosting a lot of teams that come from the States to Puerto Rico to do mission work. But we also go to different areas to do mission work. We go every year to New Orleans to help in the rebuilding of New Orleans after the Hurricane Katrina. Actually, this year, even though we are still facing the rebuilding and the things about Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, we decided to go back to New Orleans. We have been so blessed that we say we have to give back what we have received. This year in Puerto Rico, we have already hosted 20 teams that have come to work in Puerto Rico. So we said, hey, a way to pay forward is to go back. So we went to New Orleans. And a funny story is that when we went to work in the house of a lady, she couldn't believe that people from Puerto Rico were actually working in her house. And she began to call her church members, hey, I have people from Puerto Rico, the people where we were praying for, they're working in my kitchen. They're working in my house. So it was, you know, it's a way of saying thanks. And I have discovered, probably you also have, that where when you give more and you try to compete in this and give more, God gives you more and more. And that's our story. I remember that immediately after the Hurricane Katrina, Maria, we didn't know what's going to happen. You know, in Puerto Rico, the economy, we're struggling in our economy. So adding that hurricane, that was going to become worse. In our church, we began to cut everything we could in the budget. So that means that what's going to happen after the hurricane? One of my worries was, will I still have a church? What's going to happen? We didn't know what's going to happen with that. But we began to receive phone calls from Randy, from other pastors, from churches saying, hey, we're with you. And after receiving those phone calls and conversations, seeing that after the hurricane, God is still in control. That gives us peace in the midst of the storm. And we began to receive a lot of help and donations. Churches, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. Every single week I went to the mail and I began to receive and I began to testify to the church. Hey, we have this check, we have these donations. A small school from Rome, Georgia, they sent a check about $230-something saying, hey, we're a small school, poverty, but we decided to raise this fund, and they sent that check. A small church from Maine, they said, we're a small church. Here's a donation of $80. So we began to receive a lot of donations, and that was a way of God saying, hey, you're not alone. God is still in control. And we begin to receive a lot of boxes and donations. Our church became like a Amazon warehouse. And whenever you walk, there was a lot of boxes and donations. And I teach something very important to the church in that moment. And I said, hey, people, even though the church is filled with boxes and water and a lot of things, never forget about this. The people will always be the first. For God, people is always the first. You know, the building is important, but the people is the most important. And having all those donations, and there we begin to bless and go to the mountains and go to other places and begin to give and to give what we have received. And I can say that God has been very helpful. Talking once again, or going back to our church, we were in a tent. We began to our ministry. We were in a small house. From the small house, we moved to a tent. And there in the tent, we hoped to build the church in 5-7 years. But the tent, it took us 14 years in a tent. And like I said in the previous service, you know, preaching in a tent has its adventures and it's very exciting, you know. You never know who can show up at the service. Sometimes little animals, insects come inside the tent. And you have, I actually had a very, very committed lizard that came every single Sunday. and was always there. I don't know if it was a Pentecostal or a Baptist, but he was always showing there. And sometimes when I was preaching, I saw a lot of, you know, people like moving their heads like this. So I knew something was happening. And trying to connect with the people, grab their attention in the midst of what is happening in the tent. And when it was raining, you have two options. Or you can get wet inside the tent or outside the tent, but you got to be baptized that Sunday. But the thing is that when in 2016 we finished our new church building, we moved to the new building. 2017 came the hurricane. So imagine for 14 years praying, God give us another year. So 2017 came the hurricane, and it washed away the tent. No more tent. So I can say God has been faithful. God has been faithful. Puerto Rico, right now we are 3.4 million. So we have more Puerto Ricans in the States than in the island. A lot of people are flying to the States. People are purchasing one-way ticket because of the crisis that Puerto Rico is living, the economy, and a lot of things. So it's a challenge. Actually, my two brothers live in Georgia. I'm the only one living in Puerto Rico. So we have more Puerto Ricans living in the States than in Puerto Rico. They say that almost 5 million Puerto Ricans are living right now in the States. And in probably 8 years, we're going to be below 3 million. And also another thing I just want to add before going to the scripture is that still Puerto Ricans are struggling because of the hurricane. You can see a lot of blue tarps in the roof. Actually, 2 weeks ago, a lady showed up to this nonprofit organization just to get a new blue tarp for her roof. So still there are a lot of roof with tarps and it's a challenge. So teams are coming to help in the rebuilding. And I give once again thanks for this church and for the commitment to help us and rebuilding and helping us and for your prayers. So thank you so much. So I want to go now to the scripture. One of my favorite passages is in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35-41. And it's a moment where Jesus was with his disciples, and he says that, and the same day, when the even was come, he says unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there he also, with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the wave beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is that you have no faith? And they fear exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, Jesus was doing one of the things that he loved to do most. And I shared that secret with the first service. I'm going to share with you this again. Please don't tell anybody, because, you know, this is very important what I'm going to say. Jesus loved to do three things very important. And like I said, I'm an expert in the Bible. And studying the Bible, I found three things that Jesus loved to do. First, he loved to teach. He goes and was teaching. He talked a lot, and he was an excellent teacher. Actually, I can say that if he was doing some teaching now in 2018, probably he will do some PowerPoint, some Facebook, some Twitter, because he loved to connect with the people. Second, he loved to pray. He took time to be apart by himself to connect with his Father. And the third thing that he loved to do, and we as a Puerto Rican love to do, and I think this church also as a Baptist love to do, Jesus loved to eat. How many can say amen? Amen. So he loved to teach. He loved to pray, and he loved to also eat. But here he was all day long teaching a few parables to his disciples and to the people about God's kingdom. And so after he finished all that day long, he decided to go with his disciples to a boat, probably to have a quiet and relaxed time. So he was with his disciples. And he told the disciples the following. He said, let us, and this is very important what he said. He didn't say, I'm going, you are going, let you. He said, let us pass over to the other side. So he was with the disciples, and he moved the disciples to go inside the boat. And he said, let us pass over to the other side. And then came verse 37. Verse 37 talks about the storm. You know, I have gone through different storms in Puerto Rico, and honestly, I don't like storms. I don't like them. But they're part of our culture, they're part of our context, they're part of being part of the Caribbean. But in our life also, we have storms. And I heard something very important that said that either you are in the middle of a storm, you're getting out of a storm, or yes, you're entering to a storm. That's part of the cycle of life. But the important thing that I want to say today is the following. When the unexpected, when something that you're not expecting comes, what do you do how do you face the unexpected situation? What do you do when you hear the unexpected news? What do you do when you are in an unexpected problem? Where do you run to? To whom do you call? Who is with you on the unexpected storm? The important thing about this text is that in the middle of the storm, even that the disciples didn't know, the most important person was with them inside of the boat. So what I'm wanting to say today is the most important thing then in the storm is not going through the storm or getting out of the storm. The most important thing is who is with me during the storm. Jesus was with the disciples during the storms. Verse 38 says that that the boat was halfway almost, probably, across the lake. And there was a fierce storm that begins to beat against the boat. The waves are so high that they wash over them and begins to swamp their ship. In other words, they are beginning to sink. They're bailing as fast as they can, but more water is coming in than going out. And it's obvious that the storm doesn't die down. So now they're probably fearing that they're going to die. Many of the disciples are fishermen. They have known of boats that have gone down in this kind of weather. They are known of sailors that never have come home. And they are frightened. Yeah, they have fear. And they have good reasons to be frightened. They're panicked because of the storm. And the thing that they can understand is that they're going through the storm. And the most important man in the boat, the most important man in the boat is sleeping. Have you ever wondered or think that in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your problems, you have sensed that the most important person is sleeping? It happened to me. Moments when I'm in the middle of the desert and it feels that I'm alone and that God is not with me. What do you do? Where do you run to? In the midst of the storm, Jesus was sleeping. Yes. Sometimes as a Christians, we sense that God is sleeping. And yes, we have to say amen and we have to say the religious words. I'm in victory. I'm okay. Everything is okay. But deep inside us, we sense that God has forgotten. And he's sleeping and he doesn't care that we are in the midst of the storm. But I also have learned the following. When I read the story and when I have seen the past in my life and seen God's work, I have seen the following, that when God is sleeping, it means that he's relaxed. And if he's sleeping, I will go back to sleep again also. You know, the question is why he was sleeping? You see, he was sleeping because of two reasons. First of all, he was sleeping because Jesus knew who he was. Second, he was sleeping because he knew where he was going. The most important man on the boat was sleeping because he knew who he was and he knew where he was going. That's why he said, "Let us go to the other side. I'm not gonna perish. You're not gonna perish. We are going through to the other side." And I have good news for you, brothers and sisters, today. In the middle of the storm, the most important man is on the boat, and he knows who he is, and he knows where he's going, and he says, "We are going to the other side." Yes, Jesus was sleeping because he trusted on his own words. Previously, before him going to the boat, he says, "We are going to the other side." He knew he was going to arrive to the other side. Yeah, he moved. He pushed the disciples to the boat. He didn't give all the details of what's going to happen. And thank God that God doesn't give us all the details every time. Just a little storm. So he pushed the disciples. And something that I have learned here in this passage is the following. He said, yes, the disciples were in the boat. And they were in the midst of the storm. They were in the center of God's will because the one who pushed the disciples to go in the boat was Jesus. So being in the middle of the storm was being in the middle of God's will. So the most important thing is not the storms. The most important thing is not the duration or the strength of the storm. The most important thing is who is with me in the middle of the storm. I have learned the following, yes. Storms and hurricanes come and go, but his word He's faithfully forever. Can you say amen? So Jesus was there sleeping because he knew that he was going to the other side. And probably he was relaxed. He was calm. Everything was okay. And probably, like I said on the previous service, I don't know if Jesus loved to sing, or probably yes. So probably he was singing there in the boat while the disciples were, you know, were screaming and were desperate. Probably Jesus was singing, and something like this, he was saying, mi corazón se llena de emoción. Juan grande es él, Juan grande es él. Mi corazón se llena de emoción. Juan grande es él, Juan grande es él. Dancing's my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. See? I have learned to sing in the middle of the storm. What do? To whom you run to? What do you say? May you sing. May you praise. May you have hope in the middle of the storm. The story says something else very important. And it says that after the disciples questioned Jesus and said, you don't care that we perish. I love Jesus' answer. And when you read verse 39, I love what Jesus said to the disciples when they began to ask him and question him. He just didn't say anything. And he just arose and he rebuked the wind. And I give thanks for that. Sometimes we say so many things to Jesus, and he just stands and says a word. So he arose and rebuked the wind. And then he spoke to the sea, and something says that when he spoke, peace, be still. And the text says that the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You see, verse 37 says there was a great storm. Now verse 39 says there was a great calm. You see the opposite? Where there is a great problem, when Jesus showed up, there is a great solution. Where there is great change, when Jesus show up, there's a great liberation. That's why we praise the Lord. That's why we sing. That's why we worship him. Because our God is great. Can you say amen to that? After a great calm, when you do your homework, and you read Mark chapter 5. It says that when they arrived to the other side, yes, to the other side, there was a man, you know the story, that for many years lived there with chains in a cemetery. For many years. Jesus had to go to the other side because in the other side, there was a man who had a great need. He took the disciples to the boat. And after being the whole day giving some classes, now was the time for the practice. And now they went to the other side, because on the other side, there was a man who needed a word of hope. Sometimes you don't know why Jesus had put you in a boat, and you had go through a difficult storm. Yes, because after the storm, and you go to the other side, you can tell the people, hey, I have been in the midst of the storm, but I can say something. God was always with me. Yes, brothers and sisters, sometimes, yes, we are in a boat. But the most important thing is, who is with me? Jesus is with us. He knows who he is. He knows where he's going. And yes, we are going to the other side. To let the other people know that Jesus still does miracles. That Jesus is alive and Jesus is coming again. Yes, let's go on the boat. And yes, sometimes storms are coming. But stay calm. Jesus is calm. We are going to the other side. People need us to go to the other side. And yes, when we go to the other side, we'll say, in Jesus' name, be free. For God is the glory. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
So we've heard the word. We've heard what it means to know about who is with us and to know where we're going. So the first question for us this afternoon is, where are you going?